I'm Marty Moscoen. Welcome to Radio Times. We are on Radio Row at the Democratic National Convention at the Wells Fargo Center in South Philadelphia. It was not boring in Philadelphia on Monday. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, head of the DNC, said she would step down after WikiLeaks released damning emails about efforts to undermine Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders was booed by his supporters when he called on them to support Hillary Clinton. Protesters took to the street in the punishing heat to rally for their causes, mostly their opposition to the candidacy of Clinton. And inside the center last night, delegates heard from headliners Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and Michelle Obama. In fact, the First Lady wowed the crowd, took down Donald Trump without saying his name, and gave a full-throated endorsement of Hillary Rodham Clinton. Let's listen.
I wake up every morning in a house that was built by slaves. And I watch my daughters, two beautiful, intelligent black young women, playing with their dogs on the White House lawn. And because of Hillary Clinton, my daughters and all our sons and daughters now take for granted that a woman can be president of the United States.
And joining us here on Radio Row is Byron Tao. He's a reporter at the Wall Street Journal's Washington, D.C. Bureau. He covers the White House and has been covering the 2016 presidential campaign. Byron, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Also with us is Rebecca Traister. She's writer-at-large for New York Magazine. Wrote a book earlier this year called All the Single Ladies, was a guest on Radio Times talking about that, and had a profile of Hillary Clinton in New York Magazine just a couple of months ago, Hillary Clinton versus herself. And Rebecca Traister, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
It's great to be here.
I have to say, I think everyone was wondering yesterday afternoon, early evening, what would Bernie Sanders say? But as it turned out, the First Lady stole the show. Would you say that's true, Rebecca?
It was absolutely true. That speech was a thing of beauty and brilliance. And listening to it, I was writing while it was happening last night, and just listening to that clip this morning, I teared up because it reminded me of how stunningly beautiful that speech was. She did so many difficult things. She absolutely flayed Donald Trump without attacking him in a nasty way or even saying his name directly, just by drawing comparisons in which she talked about the good things about Hillary Clinton that may and about the country that made it so clear that she was criticizing Donald Trump. She also laid into the Bernie booers by, again, drawing a positive comparison with Hillary Clinton, talking about how 8 years ago when she didn't win the nomination, she did not, you know, pick up and go home. She instead, you know, pledged herself to support Barack Obama and continued to be in it. I mean, that was a really sharp, stinging blow to the people who were booing all the other speakers. And, you know, it was a beautiful rhetorical moment.
What I noticed, Byron, is that when the First Lady spoke, and perhaps because she is the First Lady, people were quiet and respectful and enthusiastic. You didn't hear the kind of booing that Elizabeth Warren got, even that Bernie Sanders got when he spoke last night.
That's right. In a convention that sort of opened on a note of discord, we have protesters out on the street, we have protests on the floor of the convention, we have boos for some of the icons of the Democratic Party. Michelle Obama's speech really was a unifying moment for the party. Even as Rebecca notes, she did sort of take the argument to the Sanders or bust folks, but it was really a well-received speech. It was definitely the favorite of last night, and the reviews have been raved from across the political spectrum for its optimism, for its forward-looking vision, and for the general just the way she expressed herself on the stage last night.
She said, "Remember the children." That was kind of the mantra of what she was saying, which is, "Remember the children who'll be growing up in the next generation." I'm also thinking of that ad that they've been playing of children watching TV, you know, allegedly listening to Donald Trump's comments.
Right. That ad, which was it's a Hillary ad, and I wondered last night how planned that was, the dovetailing of this message. Look at what's going to happen to the children if they grow up under this Trump administration. But the other thing about that speech was her vision of the United States. So there's this battling dystopian vision of the United States laid out by Donald Trump last week in Cleveland. And here is Michelle Obama, who did this other tremendous rhetorical thing last night, which was lay out a positive, beautiful, patriotic vision of the country, how much she loves it, while also acknowledging its very broken and unjust roots, slavery, segregation, all those things that the clip you played about waking up every morning in a house built by slaves and watching her daughters play with the dogs on the lawn, that is so powerful because it does something that is so hard to do. It offers a beautiful vision of America that is also honest about what has historically and continues to be broken about America. That is a beautiful, beautiful thing to hear.
Well, Byron, let me go back to you. There were certainly protesters when we left yesterday afternoon, protesters who were frankly talking about locking Hillary up, calling her a criminal. Bernie's going to beat Hillary. There is a very vocal, it'll be interesting to see in November, how big a group of people who are Bernie Sanders supporters, and they will not, at least as of today, sign on with Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, so I would say there's a couple thousand protesters in the city, many of whom, I talked to a lot of them, I trailed them around yesterday, many of whom just simply feel that they cannot and will not support Hillary Clinton. Some of them are still holding out the hope that the Democratic Convention superdelegates will change their mind and nominate Hillary Clinton, which is extremely unlikely to say the least. But let's also not confuse the fact that just because there is a group of protesters here in Philadelphia does not mean that most Bernie Sanders supporters across the country are not ready to pull the lever for Hillary Clinton. I mean, polls show that the Democratic Party, by and large, for the most part, is coalescing around her. And we shouldn't confuse the fact that a couple thousand, maybe more, activists have come to Philadelphia with the fact that there are many Democrats that are supported Senator Sanders and are ready to support Hillary Clinton.
Let me just read a comment. Rebecca, I'll go to you. This is a Facebook comment from Andrew. The cronyism, cover-ups, and corruption are so deep in the Democratic Party, there is no flowery speech good enough to hide it. And there are certainly more people like Andrew who feel this way. And Bernie Sanders talked about a rigged system. And there were, you know, I think there are questions about whether this revolution that he started, whether he has lost control of it.
Well, I think he has. I mean, I think Jane Sanders actually said yesterday, we've never had control of our supporters. But I think you could see the look of surprise. There's video from yesterday morning of Bernie Sanders being booed by his own supporters when he announces his support of Hillary Clinton. And you could see a look of real shock across his face. And I think it is this instance, and there's a little bit of a Frankenstein's monster. But as Byron was saying, I mean, this is a small contingent that's here. I mean, it's a hefty contingent for this convention. But he's looking at the most dedicated, the ones who've come to Philadelphia to make this point. And that's who he's trying to corral at the moment. And I think he's going to have a very hard time doing it. They seem very unwilling to fall in line. The other thing to remember is that some of them, one of the things that Bernie Sanders talked about and that his supporters talked about was the fact that he was bringing in people who weren't traditionally in the Democratic Party. So they're not necessarily moved to feel party loyalty. They can't be talked back into party loyalty. They have listened perhaps to his calls and to others that the party is so irredeemably broken that there's no, you know, difference. Not that Bernie Sanders himself ever said this, that there's little difference between Democrats and Republicans. There's not necessarily an easy way to bring these people into what the Democrats want to have as a positive convention.
I mean, it is so interesting, Byron, because Bernie Sanders is not the traditional Democrat. I mean, it's someone who recently associated himself. I mean, not that he hasn't worked with them and caucused with them, but he's not a Democrat.
Right. And there is a parallel to Donald Trump here as well, in that these are both outsiders who never felt any real formal connection with the party that they ran for the presidency in. And Bernie Sanders, in many ways, long defined himself as a political independent. For a long time, he didn't even come to the Democratic National Conventions. And here he is giving the opening primetime remarks at the party convention after having drawn 13 million or so votes across the country. So this really is a movement of outsiders. Many of the protesters I talked to yesterday described themselves as political independents. They said they had no loyalty to the Democratic Party. They were not willing to fall in line, that Bernie Sanders was the candidate that drove them into politics. And if it's not him, they'll write him in November, or they'll vote for the Green Party, or some of them will vote for the Libertarians. So as Rebecca said, these aren't necessarily party people. These aren't necessarily people that are ready to get in line.
Well, let me play a clip, and this is from yesterday, and Bernie Sanders talking to some of his supporters, and they did boo him. Let's give it a listen.
And we have got to elect Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine.
Rebecca, it's interesting, though, when you look at the platform, and I realize the platform is not a contract that people have to sign, but when you look at the platform, you've got $15 an hour minimum wage, you've got expanding Social Security, a reining in greedy banks, a pathway for illegal immigration, references to climate change, LGBTQ.
Opposition to the Hyde Amendment, which hasn't been in there ever before and is crucial and remarkable that we've gotten there.
But has Bernie Sanders made the Democratic Party a more progressive party?
Yes, he has. Yes, this is the most progressive platform we have seen in years. And one of the things that's interesting about listening to that kind of that level of venom is that so much of the heightened vision of her as a monster, right? Not as a compromised or imperfect Democrat, but as a monster, corrupt, rigged. Lock her up. This is language that's actually borrowed from decades of right-wing sort of fantasist vilification of Hillary Clinton. And that's one of the things that's uncomfortable, even if these are not necessarily Democrats who are giving voice to some of this stuff. It's at the Democratic convention. They're self-styled progressives. And they're using this language that was invented by the right over the past 2.5 decades specifically to vilify Hillary Clinton, a language of corrupt monstrosity. And that's one of the things that I think is so disconcerting about this.
The lock her up came from Cleveland, and it's coming from Philadelphia, Byron.
That's right. I was actually very surprised to walk around the protests on Sunday and Monday and see so many Hillary for prison, lock her up chants, bumper stickers. There is real emotion out there in the streets, and even if this is a couple of thousand hardcore diehard Bernie supporters, that they have indeed borrowed the language of the Republican National Convention to make the same case. And I've talked to a lot of them, and they say the same things. They mention her use of an email server that was personal instead of a government server, which, you know, the FBI has investigated and said there was nothing that rises to the level of criminal wrongdoing.
Careless, they said.
This is what they point to, and then some of them have pointed to the Benghazi attacks and others. These are attacks that Republicans have been making for months, if not years, if not decades.
You were in Cleveland. You saw some of this. Rebecca, we're almost having a break here, but go ahead.
Yeah, in Cleveland, the spirit was so dark. I will say this, even though this was contentious last night, there was such excitement and passion. And it didn't feel exactly negative. It felt spirited and like a really intense wrestling match. In Cleveland, where the bowl was half empty for almost every night of the convention, there was just sort of listlessness and darkness until somebody talked about locking up Hillary Clinton, at which point everybody would cheer. But that was the only thing that brought... Last night here was much more energetic and actually positive, even with the booing, than it had been all last week in Cleveland.
And that's Rebecca Tracer joining us with Byron Tao. We are on Radio Row at the Democratic National Convention here in South Philadelphia. And if you want to join us, you can call us at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Much more after this very short break. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times. I'm Artie Moscowane. We are in second day of our coverage live from Radio Row at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia at the Wells Fargo Center, talking about Monday night speakers with Byron Tao of the Wall Street Journal and Rebecca Traister of New York Magazine. And we have a lot of people that want to join the conversation. Let me play one more clip, and this is Sarah Silverman speaking last night at the convention, an ardent Bernie Sanders supporter. Here's what she said.
Can I just say, to the Bernie or bust people, you're being ridiculous.
So, Byron, what do you make of that? I mean, did that sort of turn the events last night?
Well, this is the big challenge for all these party leaders, and even the most committed Bernie Sanders supporters have to make the case in primetime and to the convention floor and to everyone watching at home that it is in their best interest to rally behind Hillary Clinton. And, you know, it's hard to do that when there's a convention full of several thousand people, many of whom are inclined to boo you. So, you know, you could see her frustration with the goings-on in the convention hall. And, you know, I don't know if that was in her prepared remarks or not, but it was certainly an interesting moment and a memorable one.
A comment from Facebook, I stand with Sarah Silverman. A tweet from Nathan, there's no reasoning with a small percentage of Bernie voters who are okay with Trump presidency. We Dems must move on without them. A tweet from Walt says Sanders has 1,900 delegates. It's up to Hillary to convince them, not Bernie. And I guess this will be, I don't know, how big of a job do you think this will be for Hillary Clinton this week?
It's a huge job, and it's a very difficult one. You really, as Byron says, one of the tricks here is you have to lay out a positive message. And that's one of the things, listening to Silverman's irritation. So you, the speakers themselves, the party, the elected officials, can't vilify these people because that just shuts them out further. And there's a question, do you make them feel ridiculous, as Sarah Silverman said, instead of righteous, which is perhaps how they feel themselves to be, fighting the righteous fight? But really, most elected officials, and certainly Hillary Clinton, can't really do either. What she must do is something that she hasn't yet successfully done, which is lay out a compelling, positive vision. Now, she has, I should say, that she has been laying out all kinds of progressive policy ideas, but Hillary Clinton is not a naturally, not somebody whose speaking style and whose oratory we understand as easily uplifting and inspiring, and it is, and there are all kinds of reasons for that, including her own skills as a speaker, including the way that we receive different kinds of speakers.
Because she's a girl?
I wouldn't put it that simply, but yes, I think that, you know, she is a woman in a world of oratory that we best understand, hear, and receive from men. Historically, we understand men to be the grand promise makers, and we understand them to be the ones who can lift us and take us into the future. And there is an impulse. We don't listen as easily to big promises from women. We don't believe them or trust them in the same ways that we trust men. And that's not all. She also has her own very real shortcomings. But yes, she has a big challenge ahead of her.
Byron, this is not the first reporter who has said to me that Hillary Clinton is not a natural campaigner.
And that's right. And she herself has acknowledged that this is difficult for her, that, you know, as smart and as well-regarded as she was in the Senate, as a lot of people, she draws bipartisan praise for her time there and for her work throughout her career, it is difficult for her to hit the campaign trail in a lot of ways. She does not do well in big crowd settings. She, you know, it is not a natural gift that she has. Like her husband, in a lot of ways, was a very natural politician. It's not her style.
Well, I noticed last night a lot of TPP with a line through it. While the platform doesn't necessarily oppose TPP, sounds like Hillary Clinton personally does. Sounds like her vice presidential pick personally does. Is that not good enough, Rebecca Traister?
Well, this is such a tricky position that the party and the administration has worked out, because this is such a crucial issue, the opposition
for the
to TPP.
Yes, yes.
Right? And it also happens to be the thing that Barack Obama has chosen as his pet issue at just this moment. So Hillary is in this difficult position of wanting to run alongside Barack Obama, but the issue that she is opposed to, he supports really passionately. That's, everybody's sort of deadlocked on this one, and I don't know that there's a great way around it.
You want to add to that, Byron?
Yeah, you know, and it's especially difficult for Hillary Clinton because she served in the Obama administration, and during that time, she was responsible for implementing their trade agenda. Whether she personally supports the TPP or not, it was her duty as the Secretary of State to make and push their agenda, and so it's difficult for her, and it goes to the heart of the complaints against her, which is that she is calculating and inauthentic. The fact that she was she appeared to be an advocate for it when she was in the administration, and when she came out, she came out against it, just as Democratic activists sort of decided that it was unacceptable.
And of course, her husband, the president, Bill Clinton, and NAFTA. I mean, that's also sort of hangs over this. Rebecca?
This is one of the very sticky things about being Hillary Clinton, is that so much of her past public life, her job has been to be supportive of the more powerful in both cases men, who she is either married to or working for within their administration. Her job as First Lady, and this is not excusing the way that she supported NAFTA, the crime bill, welfare reform, because she, but it was also incumbent on her as the wife for whom expectations for loyalty were extra heightened because she was a controversial and independent thinking wife, to go out and be publicly supportive of what her husband was doing. As a member of the Obama administration, it was her job in part to publicly support his initiatives. And now she finds herself wanting that top job and being held to account for the various moments of support that she has offered to these more powerful men in the past. It's sticky.
Are you saying it's hard to be Hillary Clinton in 2016?
I think it's been hard to be Hillary Clinton for really, since a lot 1947. Of her life. I mean.
A Facebook message from Franco: the DNC has to realize the shift to a progressive agenda that Bernie supporters are pushing for, and if the party doesn't make that move, they're at risk of alienating a lot of young voters. This is kind of a theme that we're hearing, Byron, but it seems that in many ways they were successful in doing that, at least on paper.
Well, what's amazing is that Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton came to national prominence at a time when conservatism was on the rise. If you look at the platform that Bill Clinton ran on as governor of Arkansas and as president, it would almost belong in a Republican Party in a lot of ways, especially on crime and welfare reform. The party has changed dramatically. And as Rebecca said, she came to power, she came of age, she came to public prominence in this era when the party was very different. Now the Democratic Party is very progressive, very diverse, and is moving in the progressive and liberal direction. So that is a huge challenge for her, especially when she has this long public record of time in the spotlight from when the party was a lot more conservative and the country was a lot more conservative.
Just a couple minutes before we have to say goodbye to you, what are you going to be doing today, Rebecca Traister?
Oh, running from event to event. I have to say that the spread out nature of this convention makes the logistics a little difficult. So I will be
racing.
It is. It is. Well, it's a wonderful city where I grew up. But I will be racing from event to event and then trying to get back in here tonight to hear Bill Clinton, who I gather will talk for 3 to 4 hours.
That is his wand, isn't it? How about for you, Byron?
Well, I'm keeping one eye on the protesters. It's definitely an interesting story to see what they're up to and how they're responding and what the messages are. And I will be back here tonight also to watch Bill Clinton and to cover that. So it'll be a busy day.
There are a number of protesters and protests all over the city. I would say, looking at their schedule, of at least the scheduled events, most of them anti-Hillary Clinton. With some other things, I think there was a trial of her yesterday, or maybe there's one today.
Did we do a trial here?
Apparently,
too?
We did.
It wasn't enough to try her last week in Cleveland.
No. Apparently, there was or is a trial in Philadelphia.
Yeah. So I have seen very few pro-Hillary supporters in the streets of Philadelphia. So these are mostly pro-Bernie folks and folks that find her wholly unacceptable.
But let me say, though, because I think the visibility of the anti-Hillary folks is so big, there are so many passionate pro-Hillary people, not only here but around the country, and some of these dynamics have left a lot of them quieter than the anti-Hillary folks. So I think that there's an impression that it's only anti-Hillary, but I don't think that necessarily, it obviously doesn't reflect reality. You know, she won the primaries by a rather large margin.
Right. Stay tuned. Rebecca Traister, thank you so much for joining us once again on Radio Times of New York Magazine. And Byron Tao, thank you for joining us as well. And Byron Tao of the Wall Street Journal. And yes, we are broadcasting from Radio Row here at the DNC. And let me introduce our third guest who is joining us. This is Jonathan Tessini. He is a political and labor strategist. He's a surrogate for Bernie Sanders. He actually wrote a book called The Essential Bernie Sanders and His Vision for America. And Jonathan Tessini, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Hey, it's great to be with you.
Nice to have you with us. Let me just give out the phone number and ways that our listeners can join the conversation. And again, that phone number, 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at @WHYY Radio Times. Let me just play a clip from last night, Jonathan, before we talk to you. And this is Bernie Sanders addressing the delegates, speaking last night from the convention center down here in South Philadelphia.
Any objective observer will conclude that based on her ideas and her leadership, Hillary Clinton must become the next president of the United States.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was multitasking here, talking to one of our producers here. Let me turn to you, Jonathan. And where do you stand on the candidacy of Hillary Clinton?
Well, I'm very much in line with my candidate, Bernie Sanders, and I just actually walked out of a breakfast. I'm a New York delegate, and I just walked out of the breakfast that we had here, the whole New York delegation, Bernie people and Hillary people, and Andrew Cuomo, the governor, introduced Bernie to the crowd.
Interesting.
And Bernie essentially repeated that message, very much what he said last night. You know, I think that the motivating factor for many of us, whatever differences we have with Secretary Clinton, is two words, Donald Trump. I consider him, as does Bernie, a great threat to the nation. And I think that is what people are going to focus on after we leave the convention.
Well, we've been talking about this, as has everybody else, and we're down here at the convention, and we've been talking to protesters here, many of them seeing Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton in the same light, both calling them both criminals. We see signs here in Philadelphia like the signs we saw in Cleveland, lock her up. What do you make of that?
Well, look, one thing you didn't mention in my bio, which probably is relevant, is that I ran against Hillary Clinton in 2006 in the Senate primary in New York for one sole reason, which is her vote for the Iraq War. And there's many differences. I feel deeply conflicted about this, and I supported Bernie Sanders because of his vision and the incredible man he is and what he promised to the country. But as I said just before, I think that we really, really have to focus on the two things that are not contradictory, which is Donald Trump is a threat to this nation. My mother, who was a Holocaust survivor, wrote me an email. She was a Bernie Sanders supporter, and she said, "I'm going to vote for Hillary because I see the Nazis coming." Because in her mind, the words that Donald Trump puts out and his tone and what he talks about evokes something deep in her memory. And the second thing, which I don't think is contradictory, that our political revolution has had enormous effect, positive effect, that we've had enormous victories, and that it continues. It does not end with this convention. It does not end with this election. And I think that we can hold those two thoughts together at the same time.
When you talk about winning, are you talking about what is in the platform, which is, as our previous guests were saying, a much more progressive platform than in past Democratic National Conventions?
Yeah, yes. And, a platform, I've seen lots of platforms. They're often not worth the paper they're written on. No president walks into the Oval Office and says to the chief of staff, "Get me that party platform. I now have to implement it." But the platform is really a example, a real life manifestation of this political revolution. The reason it's the most progressive is because thousands of people came out in their communities all across the country. There are 1,900 Bernie Sanders delegates at this convention. Every single one of them is going to go home to their community and continue to organize, to run for school board, to run for county commissioner, to run for local office, maybe for federal offices. And so to me, the victory, as I've traveled the country for Bernie now for a full year in many states and many small communities, our victory is at that local level in all those communities.
Are you concerned that some people will go home and vote for Jill Stein or Gary Johnson?
There are going to be some of those. There, in every election, a third party candidate gets a vote. I'm much more concerned, frankly, about the people who won't vote. I think that this is the task that Secretary Clinton now has before her, something that Bernie Sanders can only do so much for her. She has to convince people that she is someone that they want to support and come out and vote in droves and not just stay home. I think that the idea that they're going to be Sanders voters voting for Trump, for example, is just complete rubbish. I think some people will vote for other third-party candidates, so it's now up to her, I'm talking about Secretary Clinton, to convince those people to go to the polls in November.
Let me read a couple of comments here. An email from a listener. "I'm very unhappy with Bernie and his failure to hold the party leadership accountable. Very disappointed that we are rewarding Clinton and the DNC for their bias." So clearly, Jonathan, someone who is a Bernie Sanders supporter and at this juncture not willing to go in the direction of Hillary Clinton.
Well, I think the supporter respectfully was talking specifically about the DNC and the emails and the bias,
right.
If I understood it. Well, look, we got the chair of the Democratic National Committee essentially fired and dumped. However you want to, whatever you want to say, she's now going to work for Hillary Clinton's campaign, all that nonsense. We got Debbie Wasserman Schultz dumped. That's enormous amount of power. I think there's still going to be steps that the DNC is going to have to take to clean house, and more important, to open up the process. I'm very encouraged. I happen to know Donna Brazile, who's now the interim chair. I know her personally. She's a real activist. I think she has a commitment to open up the party to all these younger people, new activists, people who have sometimes been involved in politics now in this campaign for the first time. I think there's going to be a change, but we have to realize, look, you can't win 100%, but look at the power we have to actually force the head of the DNC to lead. That's an enormous amount of power.
Well, and clearly, at least some of those emails showed what Bernie Sanders and his supporters had been saying for months, which is that Debbie Wasserman Schultz or the DNC was pushing their thumb on the scale for Hillary Clinton, or certainly raising questions about Bernie Sanders.
And we knew that. I kind of laughed. I found out actually someone sent me a link. I was mentioned in one of those emails because I was running around doing surrogate work for Bernie appearing on CNN, and they weren't happy about that. I had no thought to even look for it, and somebody sent me a link to it. But, it was not a surprise to me. We knew that months ago when Debbie Wasserman Schultz was scheduling a few debates, and at times they weren't very useful. I joked that if she could find a slot at 3 a.m. on the Home Shopping Network, she probably would have scheduled the debate for then. This was not a surprise. What was a surprise is that I think it was a lot broader. But look, she's gone. There's now a new interim head. We exercised our power. We showed that it would be unacceptable to do this in the future. And I think that means that we have now some leverage to force continued changes in the DNC.
Well, Jonathan, we're going to take a very short break, get back to our conversation. I know you have to leave us at around 10:45. That's political and labor strategist, a surrogate for Bernie Sanders, author of a book called The Essential Bernie Sanders and His Vision for America, also a delegate here at the DNC, and as he reminded us, ran against Hillary Clinton when she was running for the Senate. And you can join our conversation at 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times, and stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on Radio Row at the Democratic National Convention in South Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowen talking with Jonathan Tessini, political and labor strategist, a surrogate for Bernie Sanders. And you can join us at 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and tweet us at WHYY Radio Times to join the conversation. So, Jonathan, what does Hillary Clinton and perhaps even Bill Clinton tonight have to say to win over the reluctant Bernie Sanders supporters?
Well, I don't know about Bill Clinton. Sometimes he puts his foot in his mouth. I'm not sure that Bill
Clinton... You noticed that, right?
Yeah, I did notice that. Honestly, among people pretty sophisticated, this group, even though they might be new to politics, they're pretty sophisticated, and I don't think they need to hear from Bill Clinton. I do think that when Hillary Clinton speaks, she'll have to continue to talk in the political revolution terms. I think it has to reflect somewhat the progressive platform. But look, it's not going to happen in one night. This is going to be a long process. People are going to have to feel, not just, I think, from Hillary Clinton, but Bernie has made a commitment that he's going to travel all around the country to college campuses and wherever the Clinton campaign wants him to go. I think, it's going to be a kind of a combination of Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton over the course of the next several months to the election.
But did he start a revolution that he is at this point not willing to finish?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the end of that.
Did he start a revolution that he's not going to finish?
Oh, I think he's committed to that. He's already announced that there are going to be successor organizations. One is called Our Revolution, and he's going to set up two or three arms. One will be a political action arm, one will be a research arm. So that's going to happen. He has to finish this process of running for office. Post-convention, he's going to launch into a whole series of this continued revolution to continue to build with the delegates, with the activists, because it's really out there and people want that.
Jonathan, you are a delegate. Are you going to, when the vote comes up, are you voting for Bernie Sanders? Are you voting for Hillary Clinton? What are you going to do?
I'm voting for Bernie Sanders when that roll call comes in. There's no question. I mean, Bernie Sanders wants that roll call. Hillary Clinton is not going to stand in the way of that. We're going to have our vote. We know that we're going to come up short. But I think every single delegate who ran, worked for Bernie, who ran to be elected, wants to have that moment where his or her vote is counted.
Well, I thank you, Jonathan Tessini, for joining us today on Radio Times.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. He's a political and labor strategist. As you just heard, a surrogate for Bernie Sanders, a delegate for Bernie Sanders, will be voting at the DNC, the roll call vote, and author of The Essential Bernie Sanders and His Vision for America. I'm Marty Moscowen, and you're listening to Radio Times here on WHYY. And we are not at WHYY. We're actually on Radio Row here at the Convention Center. It's kind of quiet in the morning. In fact, yesterday we heard lots of bands tuning up for the events. It's been kind of quiet, but still a lot of people here milling around. Let me talk to Liz Fiedler, who is out on the floor somewhere, and let's find out who she's been talking to.
Hi, Marty. I am here. I am next to the Oklahoma-Alaska seating for the delegation. It's a pretty quiet scene, definitely more quiet than it was last night. Got some veterans out here. We saw Cory Booker earlier, Bill de Blasio. You know, it's a pretty quiet scene, people running the vacuum, kind of getting set up. Lots of chatter about last night, lots of people wondering what tonight will bring. This afternoon, we do have a local speaker. Anton Moore is one of the folks who'll be speaking. He runs an anti-violence group in Philly. He's very well regarded within the community. He's got a spot speaking. And then obviously tonight, Bill Clinton. So that's really what people are talking about, the delegates that I've run into. And the police are saying, I hope it stays relatively calm. That's what they're all saying. And they all honestly look quite exhausted. And we're only on day two. So much more to come for them.
Well, that's Liz Fiedler again out on the floor here at the DNC. Let me play something that we got from Liz Fiedler last night. In fact, on her way home yesterday, Liz stopped to talk with some of the delegates and some of the protesters who were braving the heat outside the AT&T SEPTA station down here in South Philadelphia. It was an odd mixing point for the groups, with just a partial fence separating the very vocal protesters from the delegates and the reporters. Let's listen to Liz's piece.
I'm here watching that. There's a pretty big group of protesters behind a tall fence. Like, it's much taller than a human being. 8 feet tall. And the protesters are cordoned off, and there are delegates and reporters coming out of AT&T station, and the protesters are yelling at them. There's a chant of Bernie, Bernie. There are people holding up Bernie or bus signs. There are also some other signs that are probably not appropriate to read on air. For the most part, it seems like the protesters are, they're kind of pushed up against the fence, yelling, directing their words at the delegates, people who appear to be delegates, at least, who are coming off of the subway. Some cheering going on, cheering back and forth between the protesters and the delegates who are raising their arms. Hi, can I ask you why they were so excited when you walked up?
They're cheering for Bernie delegates. Bernie. We're Bernie delegates. They love us.
People. Delegate.
What's your name and where are you from?
Bruce Felk from Rochester Hills, Michigan.
What is it about Bernie? Why do you like him? Why do you still like him, if I could ask it that way?
Because it's not Bernie, it's the issues. He's a man of integrity. He has the issues that the American people want to see enacted. And he's true to he's been saying the same thing for 40 years. And Hillary flips on every issue. She's flipped on TPP, she's flipped on a number of issues, and she picked Tim Kaine. She keeps poking us with a stick in the eye. And then she hired Debbie Wasserman Schultz after she resigned. She's poking us. She doesn't want our vote.
What is it about Tim Kaine that bothers you?
Well, kind of the same thing. He used to be against TPP, now he used to be for it, now he's against it. He apparently used to be pro-life. I guess he's still pro-life, but he doesn't necessarily believe in enacting any legislation. We would have liked a progressive as her vice president, but she chose a pretty conservative Democrat.
What's your name and where are you from?
I'm Michelle Horn from South Carolina. I'm a Bernie delegate till the time the convention, last gavel goes down. I'm here for him. Period.
End of story. You took the subway here and saw these people on the other side of the fence. What did you think when you climbed up? It's a lot of people behind a huge fence.
I have a lot of friends that are here.
On the other side of the fence, maybe.
And I have a lot of respect for them. I know how hard it was for us to raise the money to get here, to get elected. And my friends, I know what they did for the campaign, how hard they worked. I know what we were up against. I know what the party did not do to help us. And I know what they've done to put themselves here this week. And look how hot it is, and they've stood out there all day.
And a security person just advised me, I cannot interview protesters if I am on the sidewalk. I need to go into the street, and so I will. I have now walked into the street and among the protesters. Hi. Could I ask your name and why you're out here?
Sure. I'm Julie Holland. I'm here just to represent the part of the Democratic Party that's not okay with Hillary and will not vote for her.
And where are you from?
Originally, I'm from Missouri. I live in Vermont now.
And were you active in politics before this election, or was this like what really motivated you to travel kind of down the East Coast to come to Philly?
I worked in the 2008 Obama campaign in Missouri. And I like Bernie a lot. I think his ideas and his issues are good for our country and what the working class of this country really believes in. To represent America and the world and under a good light, unlike Hillary.
What will you do after this convention if Hillary Clinton is the Democratic nominee?
I plan to work on the Jill Stein campaign.
Now the crowd is chanting traitor. I don't know if you can hear it. I'm honestly a little cautious about getting like in the middle of the demonstration. You can feel the tension very easily here.
My name is Yvonne Lassiter, and I'm from West Halifax, Vermont.
And you are?
My name's Phyllis Criddle, and I'm from North Adams, Massachusetts.
And why are you here? I can guess based on the buttons, but go ahead.
Well, for myself, I'm primarily here to support Bernie, but in the bigger picture, to support major change with our corrupt government.
What are you expecting will happen during this week, and what do you hope will happen afterwards?
I don't know what to expect for this week, but I hope she goes to prison afterwards. Just all the fraud she's committed with Debbie Wasserman, the perjury, the lies, I mean, everything. And I just don't believe that anyone should be above the law. I will not vote for Hillary or Trump, so it's going to have to be some other person, because I cannot in good conscience do that.
You've got your tiny pink personal fan over here.
If Bernie does not become the nominee, I will vote for Jill Stein.
That was Liz Fiedler speaking yesterday to some protesters outside the convention here in South Philadelphia. Joining us now is Delaware Senator Chris Coons, joining us somewhere, I guess, in Philadelphia. Nice to have you back with us on Radio Times. Do we have the senator?
Chris Coons.
Do we have Senator Coons? We got him.
Chris Hello, Coons. Chris Coons.
Hi. How are you? Senator Coons?
Yes.
It's Marty Moscow-Wayne.
Hi, Marty. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very, very hot.
I bet you are. I bet you are. It's very hot in Philadelphia this week. We just heard from some protesters down here in South Philadelphia. I'm sure you have heard from them as well, saying that Hillary Clinton is a traitor, that she should go to prison, that she's some kind of a criminal. What do you say in response to a certain segment of people here in Philadelphia that see her that way?
Well, I hope they will listen to the voices of the leaders of the Democratic Party, from Senator Sanders to Senator Booker, from the folks who've led the Sanders delegates in our convention hall, to the folks who fought so hard for Secretary Clinton, that we've come together as a party, that sort of irresponsible and divisive talk doesn't move anything forward, doesn't have a foundation in fact, and frankly shouldn't be given the airtime that I think those sorts of marginal views merit. Frankly, we've got a positive and constructive message coming out of the Philadelphia Convention, and I think we're going to hear amazing speeches from my friend and my predecessor, Vice President Joe Biden and President Obama, from Senator Kaine and from Secretary Clinton. And my hope is that instead of the message of Cleveland, this divisive chanting and this constant attacking, we're going to come out of Philadelphia with a positive message. I understand there's protesters. That's part of every convention, both parties. It's part of the tradition of the United States of free and open speech. But that is a very tiny minority view of the folks who are participating in the convention here in Philadelphia.
What did you make of last night's speeches? We had Bernie Sanders, we had Elizabeth Warren, and we had Michelle Obama. What did you hear last night that spoke to you?
Well, I think if you contrast Cleveland and Philadelphia, it really is the tale of two cities. When you heard speeches at the same stage in the Republican convention in Cleveland, they were angry, they were divisive, they were talking about differences, they were inspiring fear. What I heard last night from Senator Sanders was someone who had led a national movement, who had inspired and engaged millions of new voters, and who spoke positively about the importance of electing Secretary Clinton. And when I heard First Lady Michelle Obama speak last night, I was genuinely inspired. One of her core points was that we should be mindful as parents about the role models that we elect, about the future of our children and what messages they will be taking away from this campaign. As she pointed out, Donald Trump and many of the speakers at the Republican convention had messages of division and hate. The messages I believe we're sending from the Philadelphia convention are messages of unity and hope. I frankly found the First Lady speech last night the most inspiring speech of the evening, and I very much look forward to what she and President Obama will do after their term in office ends.
Well, I think people know this about Michelle Obama. You don't mess with her. She's a very powerful woman. But I think she also had a message when she said 8 years ago when Hillary Clinton lost, what did she do? She went to work. She ended up being the Secretary of State and sort of took her career from there. But I thought she was also sending that message to people who might be unhappy about a Clinton candidacy.
Yes, I think there were several different speakers last night who spoke powerfully to the importance of unity and the importance of moving together, moving forward. I think Michelle Obama was the most effective, most powerful, and best respected speaker of the evening. There are some fringe elements in terms of the Sanders supporters who refused to accept the outcome of the primaries, but that certainly wasn't the message from Senator Sanders himself last night. I thought his speech was optimistic, was positive, was looking forward. And I think the First Lady gave one of the most powerful and memorable convention speeches I've ever heard. This is my fifth convention. I was a delegate to one. I worked at others. And obviously, I attended as a senator to others. Michelle Obama is a capable, strong, insightful, and uplifting voice for the American people. And I'm optimistic that that same tone will carry through tonight and in the nights ahead.
Senator Coons, thank you so much for joining us, squeezing us into your busy schedule today on Radio Times.
Always happy to be with you, Marty. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And that's Delaware Senator Chris Coons joining us in this first hour of Radio Times. We're going to close things out for this first hour, but do stay with us for hour two. We are broadcasting from Radio Row, as they call it, at the Convention Center here in South Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowane. Thanks for joining us. We'll be talking about the vice president, the role of the vice president, Tim Kaine, and we'll be hearing from a Philadelphia supporter of Hillary Clinton. So stay with us. We'll be right back.